From the campus of the University of Hawaii, this is the Center for Southeast Asian Studies Speaker Series Podcast. Podcasts, video streaming, MP3 downloads, and more are available at cseashawaii.com. Thank you for coming today. This is Singapore Stories, Take 2. A little bit about Aaron's. He is a second-year LIS student from Indonesia. As a future academic librarian, he focuses on digital technologies and social media features to enhance the library's appeal to the users while keeping abreast of Southeast Asia area studies. He is also the project manager of Hawaii's digital newspaper project, part of Library of Congress's National Digital Newspaper Project. And everyone, please help me welcome Aaron.
Title is Singapore Stories Take 2. Forgot to put Take 2 there. Why is it Take 2? Is because we already did sort of the same talk on last semester of the same story, but we'll give you some updates from that too. This is not a clicker, but it's a mouse. So a little bit of overview, what is Singapore, why, and how, and you know, and then introducing the NUS library itself. And I work specifically at the Central Library, and some stories and some reflection from my experience there. And while we're talking, there's coffee at the back, so feel free to have some. If you don't know where Singapore is, I'm pretty sure most of us, or all of us here, know Singapore is right there. It's in the middle of Southeast Asia, between the peninsula and the mainland Southeast Asia. And how did I end up there? First of all, it came from here, actually, from our Library and Information Science program. Had a talk inviting a speaker from NTU, Nanyang Technological University, the other major university in Singapore. And Professor Brandon Lloyd was here. Unfortunately, I wasn't able to attend the talk, but I was able to have a light bulb come out and think that, oh, maybe I can, with this link, I can maybe do an internship in the summer. So I contacted my advisor, and then, we're gonna play a little bit of a 6 degrees of separation. Explain more how I did get there. So this is my professor, my advisor, and my internship coordinator for the program, Dr. Asato, whom I contacted for the internship opportunity. She then in turn contacted Professor Lloyd, and I don't know, I'm sorry, I couldn't find a better picture of him. Looks like a snap. He forwarded our intention to Ms. Isabella Tran, who is the Vice Associate Librarian at NTU. And then, unfortunately, they were not able to accommodate me. They wanted to, but there was the YOG, the Youth Olympic Games, like in late July of last year. So the logistic will be a nightmare because they have to do all this barricades, and yeah, it's a nightmare, and I saw that. So back to square one. So and then Dr. Lloyd suggested us to go and contact the other big university, NUS. And this is Ms. Ng. She's the librarian, the head librarian there, who then proceeded to say, okay, we can work on this. And then she contacted Ms. Atu here, who is the university she's a librarian and also in charge of HR, who was actually a graduate of our LIS program too back in the 1980s. So that's kind of full circle for me somehow. And she only mentioned that she was a graduate when I was there, and somebody else actually mentioned it to me, so she didn't really brought it up until there. So that's a little bit of how I ended up there. I was there between in the full month of July, I worked there full time for July 1st to July 30th, and this is where I ended up. This is the Central Library of NUS. Central Library. So, there's on my first talk, I played this video, which is the orientation video to NUS for new students. But as a vindication of I made the right choice, they were actually in contention for the Service Excellence Award.
Yeah.
And they were awarded this award, so that means their service is excellent up, you know, in the institution. And they came up with an updated video, which is very more professional, and I think this will give you a better understanding of NUS rather than me talking. And I will cover a little bit more from my own experience some of the things.
It's a place you feel you belong to.
It's proactive, yet open to suggestion.
It's more than just books and journals.
The library is a great place to think, to fish around for ideas, and to be inspired. Staff at the library are really helpful. For my project, they helped me with sourcing for old journals and e-journals which I could not have otherwise found.
I'm impressed by the kind of support the librarians offer. Approach them with an idea, they provide you with detailed research roadmaps that expand the horizons of your research. They have been a great help in doing my thesis.
As a basis to achieve our goals, the U.S. libraries provide us with access to all relevant research resources worldwide. Their excellent support helps us to trace our impact and to judge our international visibility.
Apart from being just a call duty, I feel great satisfaction when I'm able to help a student or staff find what he or she has been looking for a long time.
The range of materials they have is amazing. Just when I think they can't have anything on this particular subject, they do, either in the form of online journals or publications from all over the world. I can truly say that the collection here is comparable internationally.
The NUS Library has become a major source of support for the students of the Lee Kuan Yew School of Public Policy, mainly because it has reinvented itself. The NUS Library provides services that are a combination of Facebook and Starbucks. It's had a Facebook effect because the students go down there to meet, mingle, and get to know each other. Starbucks because it has changed the physical environment.
NUS Libraries, being the largest academic library in Singapore, currently stocks a wide range of titles. They have the latest Harry Potter novel to the latest medical title in their collection. And they have also started to buy electronic books, adding to their collection as well.
We really listen to your needs and reach out to you through so many avenues.
Service equals to smile and smiling from the heart. It is not difficult really. They tell me what they want. I listen and I help them. Part of our culture here at the library. We want to help make things better for everyone.
The management plays an important role in setting the work culture in our libraries, and they are generally open to feedback from staff. I'm fortunate to have work-life balance, which enables me to work more effectively in the office. I'm blessed to have a reporting officer is very approachable.
That's all I've heard.
This encourages a sense of trust. So I'm happy to be part of this library.
We are from the library IT, and over the years of working together, we're like a big extended family.
Well, it's not just about work, sports, outings, and festivities. And of course, the marketing sessions are all the time.
I'll cover that later, so.
Thank you.
work extends across all 7 NUS libraries, and the staff from the various departments who work with us, plus the students who make us a part of their lives.
It's wonderful to know that when we work to improve our services, we also improve the qualities of lives of NUS community on and off campus.
I'm constantly receiving on-the-job training to ensure that I provide excellent customer services. I've attended several courses. At the end of the day, I feel more confident and empowered to delight our library users.
The NUS libraries have been of great assistance in helping the law school moot teams to achieve success and unparalleled record in international mooting competitions. It's been invaluable in helping many moot teams to win.
Teams of NUS law students are selected every year to attend international mooting competitions. Our role as librarians is to help them find the research materials that will enable them to be well prepared for these competitions.
It is gratifying to know at the end of the day that we have played a role in the success of the staff and students.
I've been here for 45 years,
and I've been here for 48.
For myself, I've been here for nearly 40 years. What keeps me here? I enjoy working. And I love to interact with people from home.
This is their cafe area.
What inspiration
for knowledge for life.
So, NUS, like to start with the big picture, this is a big org chart of their library organization. And I have a smaller version of it so that we can see it better, I hope. So, as you can see, if you are familiar with university libraries, there's the head librarian, and he or she is helped by 2 associate university librarians in this system. And it's divided by, these are the resource team and that's the service team. The resources team there's business, this is the part that makes revenue, and then financial services. And this is where all of the processing within the library before your books are available in the stack happens, from ordering, receiving, to journal subscriptions, cataloging, e-resource management, and content creation, document delivery system. We here have ILL, interlibrary loan, and also reporting of everything, and human resource and IT. And I was given an orientation pretty much, on each and every unit that they have. Extensively on the asset management unit, I was there for about 3 days for orientation, and also I was put with 2 new librarians there, so they were doing orientation, so I was also there with them for their orientation. And also 1 day with IT, and these 2 were just gone over through, not much. And I was under human resources as an intern, although they don't really have a big internship program like here because they don't have a library information science program. But they do take interns, and I believe I'm only the second one or the first one for that year, for last year. And then moving on to the services side, their library system has 7 different libraries, 7 different buildings, and I was assigned to Central Library with their information reference services, just like here we have the Business Humanities and Social Science reference. So I pretty much, aside from the days, the first week with orientation, I was assigned to Central Library, and I also managed to visit the rest of the special libraries throughout the day, throughout the month. I think that's it for that. So like I mentioned earlier, they have the asset management unit and then the IT unit. The asset management, it's a team-based organization. They just do a major overhaul for their library structure. So like I said, all the things that are, let's say, back office was done under asset management. And they were all kind of like having to be jacks of all trades, and some of them could not really be masters of any because they have to do, they have to be aware of cataloging, they have to be able to do processing, ordering, receiving, even though they can't do everything all at once because then the control will be gone. But they pretty much have to cover all that things that they have to do. And then library service area, I spent one day here. It was a very interesting day because the head of the of this unit, Mr. Patrick Lai, there's three Patricks there. So everybody is addressed by their full name, all the Patricks, Patrick Koo, Patrick Lai, and one other Patrick. And for myself, my name is Aarons, and then in the same division we have Karen and Aaron with double A-R-O-N. So they actually address me as Anip, which is actually my grandpa. So, but that's just some of the things that we do there. Going back to loans and membership, they talk a lot about different interesting things, how people try to manage to, you know, steal something or try to go around the policies that they have, and Patrick has some very interesting stories about that, and we'll see if I can mention them as we go along. And Patrick is he's an inventor, and he has patented technologies and products too, including the book drop and basically his book drop contraption is his own thing, and that saves the NUS library about $100,000 Singapore or US because he came up with it, and they don't have to sign up with a vendor to do that. And some of the services within the library or the facilities are outsourced, such as the computer labs like we have in the first floor at Hamilton Library. It's outsourced to the student union, or here would be our associated student of University of Hawaii, or the GSO. So basically, they just provided the space for them to provide computers and also printing. And what's cool about this is now they were able to do virtual printing jobs, so you can be in your computer somewhere on campus and just send a print order, and you can pick it up here. And I think we're slowly starting to do that too here. And they also outsources their photocopying features or facility to an outside vendor. And again, they just lend them the space and get revenue from that. What's cool about this is that you don't have to get a separate library card or anything. You can just put credit into your EasyLink card, which is your Metro card for transportation, or even in your student card that works as something for your print card too. And they also outsource the fifth floor, which is kind of like where no books are being held. And it's all just study area where after hours they close down the door to the library itself, so it becomes a detached facility. So this is where the student union also runs it, especially starting 3 weeks before exam, so that it's open 24 hours and students can have a study area, quiet area too. Some other facilities, they can pay anything they need to pay on their own, don't have to go to the business office. Some of their new books are separated by the different subjects and makes it more appealing, makes it more like a bookstore kind of feel. And they also have this perk point where in the central library you're not supposed to bring food or drink, so they have this contained area near the entrance where people can drink and eat. And though they could not frolic, because we actually caught somebody frolicking.
Is that a technical term? Frolicking?
That's the word that came out of my mind right now, but yes. And I was there to kind of, well, not witness, but I was there during the, well, you know what I mean. So that was an interesting case. Another case, let me see. This is the multimedia room, like we have Wong Audiovisual Center. Signs. They have very interesting signs there. Does this look familiar to anybody who's been in Southeast Asia? No? Yes? Because it's from here, from this one. That's a gun. This one just shushing. These are in-house design. I think they call out for design to the Faculty of Arts and Sciences. So, and then they have these signs, came before the fire. And then these, shushing, no food. And some more appealing, I guess, signs. And these are all part of their library etiquette campaign, which they also hold every October, I think. And they have some pretty interesting YouTube clips, too, for that. There are three checkpoints. It gets crowded. This is outside of the entrance. And all those three people are all librarians, and notice they're quite of the same age group as me. System has is a two-tiered system tier, as opposed to ours is just one. So this also works as their access control. So not anybody like here can just come in to the library. It's not open to the public. So in front you need to have your ID card or your student ID, and it will scan it, and then you can, you know, like those turnstile. Yes, like in the stadium. And that's the first tier of the references system, where people can ask questions about more direct questions. But if they need more longer, extensive reference interview, asking about bibliography, help with more resources or sources for their journals or for their research, then they can go to the second level, which is, here's a picture of the first tier. And there's a librarian right there, and also a staff who looks at the turnstile. Yeah. And actually, when I was working here, there was somebody who tried to steal a book by ripping off the cover and ripping off the back cover, because they thought the barcode is the thing that will set the alarm what they don't know is, or you should know, but don't take advantage of it, is that there's a magnetic strip somewhere in the book, so that once people come out without getting the books demagnetized, then it will come out.
What happened to that guy?
Oh, we got the Patrick Lai took care of that. I'm not too sure what exactly. I'm sure it will be reprimanded somehow. I mean, this is Singapore, so you can kind of figure out what they would do to that person. And this is not a unique case, I believe. That's why they have all this precautions. So this is the first level. Second level is one level above. This is more for reference interview, longer questions, and people have a seat and they can talk. And they have a split monitor too, so that the person can know what's going on instead of facing the back of the monitor of the librarian. Or they can just come around and sit with them. So the bulk of my internship was with the information service department, and I was assigned a buddy who was a new librarian. He actually just graduated when I came there. But normally what they do in librarianship in Singapore is that they come first with their bachelor's degree, and then they become assistant librarian, and then in 1 or 2 years they attend library school and then in Nanyang Technological University for a year, and then they become afterwards they get the degree, they become a librarian. My buddy is Herman Felani, who if there's an Indonesian here, is a familiar name because he's an actor in Indonesia back in the 70s and 80s, handsome guy. But it's actually this guy. It's my friend. He was very helpful, very friendly. He showed me different things that entails, you know, being a librarian there. And my immediate supervisor is the head of the information services, so she's right under the associate university librarian, and so she's in the third level of the org chart. This is Ms. Hashima. She's a librarian for social sciences, and I was also assisted by, or I was helping Mr. Tim Yap Huan, who is the Southeast Asian specialist, and also a few other people from the department. That's Gary on the right side, psychology, and Ms. Hayati is in sociology, and Winnie is in architecture. And one of the things that one of the first things I did was to help assist with this thing called the Mystery of the Missing Librarian. This is actually part of the Central Library Investigative Bureau, just kind of like CSI thing. What we basically did was, this is a orientation game for new incoming students. It's this one that I help out with as a junior field agent was with the sociology camp. So before school starts, they have different camps for different programs and majors to attract new freshmen to their program. So basically what they did was to go around the library, find out clues from different areas of the library, and figure out this missing librarian. And I think at the end of the session, they were able to figure out the picture of the librarian, and then the librarian will come out, ta-da, she's here, and that's her. Since this is sociology, Ms. Hayati was the one giving the final 5-minute speaking about just different resources and ways to reach her as their liaison for the sociology subject. And this is a photo finish of all the agents. I think I took this one. That's why I'm not in the picture. And that's me with the as the new junior field agent. I don't get to wear a tuxedo. Another big thing I did was the LibGuide. This is a subject guide or pathfinder for students who are interested in different. It's like a curated resource. And I was working with Tim to work on a Southeast Asian study LibGuide. So I work on covering databases, journals that they were subscribing to,
reference books that might be good for Southeast Asia in general, and also reference books for different countries in Southeast Asia. Let me see if this is... Oh yeah. Showed that. So, like databases, they have excellent selection of databases there. Things that people in the library program would actually drool on because it's just awesome and we couldn't afford it here. Journals divided by countries and Southeast Asia as a region. Also reference books in general. Internet sources, newspapers, and how to do research, citing, and other things. And good news is that we are also moving towards LibGuides here in UH Manoa, and most of the subject guides are already moved to LibGuides, so that would be make it more interesting to people to use.
I don't understand how it works.
This is just a guide for resources that are held by the library, and these are for specific subjects. So if we go to the main page, there are guides for different areas, for business, for marketing, for ebooks, and things like that. And they can also create it for a specific class. So if you need, if your class needs a like a bibliography list and makes it easier for the student, and the subject librarian can help with that too.
How is the LibGuide different from the subject guide?
No, LibGuide is just a proprietary name for the software that we use for the subject guide concept. And I was also helping out with cataloging and indexing of journals. Articles that are related to Singapore, Malaysia, and Brunei, and Asia, ASEAN. And this was held by Perrin. Perrin is the indexing service that was done by NUS themselves. I'm pretty sure we don't have access to it here, which is kind of sad. Have anybody tried using this before or aware of this? Did you use it here? Okay.
You could use it from our library page, couldn't you?
Nope. From UH, no.
But could you go there and use it online and then see if we have the journals here?
No, you can't even go inside the index. Yeah.
Thank you.
That's one thing I will cover. Going to HR. This is where all the alphabet soup is, and I had like one day of an orientation for this. So they have PMS since 2004, this is not what you think, it's Performance Management System, and there's the key
Performance Indicators.
There you go. And then KRAs, Key Response, do you know KRAs? I used to remember it. Key Responsibility Areas, I think. And then there's
G.
Yeah, now I just forget everything. SMART is the way they're supposed to do their goals, is to be sustainable, manageable, measurable, and then act upon, and time. There's a timeline for that so that everything is objective and measurable, pretty much. And the way they do it is to plan at the beginning of their... of the beginning of the year, and then they coach in the middle, like a midterm evaluation, and then they evaluate at the end. And so if somebody can reach a grade A for their whole performance, then they can get a 13 or 14 salary within the year. So it's like a one month extra salary. And I used to not have the screenshot. This was from the first talk, but now I do have it, and it's still complicated. So it's kind of like your grade score in school, like your transcript. And then different things have different weight,
as opposed, and for different job descriptions, they also have different things. Like the head of the head of the information unit, Ms. Hashima, and Tim Yatwan are of the same level, but Hashima handles the whole department, while Tim Yatwan was only handling just his thing, his subject, which is Southeast Asia. So they have different things that is in their core competencies and their KSE and also their objective, which should be filled out and with consultation with their supervisor. And managers are those who have subordinates. So librarian 5, which is like Herman, who is a beginning librarian, they don't supervise anybody, so that part would be 0. And everything else would be distributed equally or accordingly. Yes, it's complicated, and I think this should be only for library students too.
But I think the important factor is that this is worth the money.
Yes.
You know, so that if you get good scores, you get and it applies to academics too. The academics are all graded like
yes
as well. But it seems to me it's still very problematic, you know. If you give somebody a 1, you know, a low score,
mm-hmm.
they know and you know that you've got a low score.
Yeah.
It's very embarrassing, you know. So
yes,
in a sense, everybody is getting high scores. It's not realistic, in my view.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I don't think they're realistic representations of how well people are doing in their jobs.
Right.
Because it's in everybody's. Nobody wants to cause trouble, so you just.
Yeah. That's one thing.
That's what I think. That's my experience.
Another thing that I talked to, after this, I was talking to the librarians. Oh, I just went through the orientation and was like, what do you think? And I asked them, some of them think it's micromanaging because they have to really come down with what goals they have to come up with within the next year and things like that. So it's an interesting way or approach to performance management. As on the other side of the spectrum, we have us here, which is, there's a cockroach, which have a different way of dealing with things here. Oh, by the way, librarians here in NUS are not faculty, so they don't have any lecturer status or any, so they have a different concept.
I disagree. I'm a faculty librarian here, so.
I mean, faculty, yes. It's the difference with here, so I guess that's why this thing is more important to them than it would be here. So these are just some of the legend for that. So to kind of come up with quantifiable promises as reflected in their KPIs and KRAs and whatnot, they have this service promise, to serve with passion and smile, like the lady was saying in the video. And some of the things get to the nitty-gritty, like they won't let a phone ring for more than 3 rings. Somebody will run to it. And then all that stuff. Very, very quantifiable, very on the ground, I would say. So, and well, I guess they delivered. They were able to get the Service Excellence Award, which was actually just awarded this past week. So, and when I was there, they were working hard to kind of get up to par with all the requirements. So I like to focus on outreach because that's also one of my interests in librarianship. Like the sociology camp has their the outreach games like this one. They also do scavenger hunt in general, or they have like a crossword puzzle where they can fill out all the information from going around the library facility. And there's also the program or the faculty-wide orientation. This one was in psychology, I believe. That's Jerry. Sorry, it's kind of blur. So when they do their orientation for just the program, let's say arts and sciences here,
and library would ask for a 20-minute presentation and a 10-minute Q&A, and this is what they're doing. And this happens not just in arts and sciences, but in all throughout the 12, 13 faculties that they have. And then they also have their own separate library orientation, which is incredible because it's a 3-week-long tour at the beginning of every fall. That includes the first week is a library tour, second week is a lecture about the different areas of or features or services that they have, and then third week they have trainings on how to work on catalogs and databases. I think this is very intensive and extensive coverage of trying to get people or the students and the faculty, not just students, but also faculty have their own orientation about the resources that are available for them. Because we, if you don't know, NUS is pretty good with their, I guess they are pretty loaded, so that their library is also having a good collection, including a subscription to expensive databases. And they want people to know about it to make sure that they use it, and in return they can show that we are valuable to the whole institution. Oh, like I said, there's an orientation also for academic staff. So they try to cover all the different stakeholders that they have. And another thing that I find interesting is the book donation drive. They do this like during summertime before school starts. And this was a project headed by Herman, and I was helping him picking up books from different faculty members with like boxes of books. And then later on we would divide them based on their subjects and price them based on their conditions. And then those books will be sold at the e-resources discovery day. So aside from selling books, used books, they also feature all the resources, the databases, the online journals, ebooks that they have in a very interactive way. And this is also a show of, I guess, esprit de corps of the library faculty and staff over there. I hope I don't have the pictures. But basically, the picture where you see in the video where all the people were doing this with the bright green shirt, those are all librarians. They all come down to their first level of the library is an open space where they can do a lot of different stuff. And they do games, they do the dances that you saw. That was a choreographed dance. I was invited to dance to, but I wasn't going to be there, so I would have been there. And they were doing line dances and salsa and all that, so that was fun. And so they contacted all the major vendors and asked them to have a booth and then play a scavenger hunt too with the students, so that they get to discover while interacting with the resources that are available. And they get a goodie bag. Aside from all those stuff, I also attended meetings, obviously. I was attending the Social Science Resource Team. This is the where they talk about what are we going to do or what are our progress in preparing for the orientation and for the upcoming academic year. And I also met with the creator of Wizfolio, one of the reference management software that are out there, free. This is the same software type as Zotero or EndNote or Mendeley, if you're familiar with any of them. And the creator is a NUS graduate, and he's currently a surgeon, but apparently he's also an entrepreneur with this thing. So he was trying to push NUS to endorse his Wizfolio, because actually NUS is using EndNote, and he wanted them to help with Wizfolio because that's a domestic, you know, local-grown kind of software. And I also was involved with helping with the training for the Kratoska Index. This is an index for all the different British colonial documents that relates to Malaya, you know, Malaysia, Singapore area. And also helped with the prep orientation that I mentioned earlier. and also attended e-resources training by vendors like the towards the end of the video, the lady was saying about on-the-job training all the time. This is the kind of training that they do. They invited all the different vendors, or vendors come in to tell them about the different updates or different things that are coming up for their databases, and also solicit feedbacks because they hear and listen to NUS because they are a pretty big subscriber. Policies. So these are some things that I find interesting, because here we're all about open access and giving access to everybody and trying to get access to a lot of resources from all throughout the internet. And here, even though they have a lot of these resources, very scientific, very reliable, they're very protective. Even I didn't really have a lot of access in terms of trying to check out like Scopus or different expensive data. Well, basically, I didn't really get any access to their databases because it's only for faculty and students. And this ties into copyright laws and access. Copyright laws. Here we can ILL all we want, pretty much, even though it's not free for the library, but for the students and the faculty, it's free because that's part of our service. Over there, only faculty has quite the freedom to do so. Undergraduates, unless they are honor students and for their thesis, they can't do ILL. Graduate students can do ILL with the permission from their advisor, and this is only per article. They don't get a blanket approval for, okay, I want to do articles on this subject, please give permission to me. No. And ironically, they're doing this because they're trying to abide or follow the American style of copyright law and following all that, make sure that, like, if they do ILL, they don't take more than 10% of a book or only one chapter. Meanwhile, here, I think we're more open because of open access, and also maybe through the Greater Western Library Alliance. And protective also because not everybody can go in, not all the people wandering around can go in and use the internet and all that. They have to have the ID card for that. And same with access, it's all related.
Was this a private school or a public?
This is, it's
public.
It's, they don't say it's it's not privatized, it's corporatized. So they're not really like us here, a public university, but they're also not private. So,
this is the national university.
It is. It's just in terms of status of them. So the employees, the librarians, and the staff in the library don't really have the same type of benefit as a public service or public officer who works in the Department of Health or something. It's different. And going forward to social media presence, this is part of their outreach. They are very their very existence online. They have all this stuff. And this is mainly because of this guy, Aaron Tai, whose name is similar to me and sits right beside me and in the office, and in front of me is Karen. That's why I mentioned earlier they call me Anip, because of their names is confusing. And Aaron is very up to date with all these gadgets and gizmos and playing with new things to do with computers and trying to make sure that the library is out there in the digital world. And he's also, some of his interests also include comparing the different reference management system that are available for free on the internet. That was one of the things he was looking at when I was there and talking to him. Some of the cool technologies that they have a 3D virtual library that people can just go to the library website and look at, and it's pretty interactive too. Too bad this is just a static picture. And they also have a virtual tour that
uses the Google Maps and Google Earth, actually Google Earth API system, so that aside from being a virtual tour, if you type in your book call number, you can locate it on the stacks so that you know where which stack number to go to instead of wandering around and not knowing where to go exactly. Oh, and that would actually produce a YouTube video once you locate it, and then it would take you from the front door all the way to the stack. It's pretty awesome, I think. And aside from Central Library, I managed to do some visits to the special libraries. And this is the business library. That's the law library. This is their Bloomberg gadget in their business library. And actually, when I visited law library, they just came out of the flood, like over the weekend. And parts of their library was flooded. They have to close it for... well, in our story, it's 5 years, right? Because of our basement got covered. There was about 7 days. The scale is, of course, smaller because this is just one of the special libraries. But the immediacy and the, just the speed of their covering things, making sure that things get back to normal was just quite astonishing, I would say. Yeah, I was baffled when I was explaining about that story. I visited also the National Library to attend a talk by a professor from Syracuse, and this is part of the Library Association of Singapore, which is pretty small. There's only about 300 members, because Singapore is not that big. It talks about cloud computing. And the National Library itself is very new, it's very modern building, and it's huge. Oh, and if you go there, you should visit. I also went to Nanyang to visit and attend a talk, another talk about social media in the NTU perspective. And this is pretty much their show of force of the new technologies that they have over there. All the new gadgets and gizmos with their library information commons over there. So it was pretty interesting. And I was able to meet with Isabella Tran, the vice director of library over there that I talked about earlier. These are some of the things that they have. A 3 monitor computer. This is in just the regular computer lab. The usual 2-screen one. And then they have the touchscreen desktops. And then they have this two study commons with the big computer screen. And the boards, the sides are actually boards where you can scribble. I don't think you can see it there. And they have a touchscreen for their New Straits Times, for the Singapore's newspaper. Available for about 10 for their last 10 days of issue. Oh, and one thing, since I guess they invested so much on everything else, they were only able to pay for a quarter of their wall clock over there and the information common. So, well, I guess it's cutting edge too. Ah, Makan culture. Well, I guess pictures say 1,000 words, so I'll let you look at it for a while. Yong Tau Fu. Oh, this is naan and curry. Yong Tau Fu. Laksa. And Cha Kway Tiao. Going back. Oops. One of the interesting things here in the NUS library is that I'm an unpaid intern, but they fed me very well. Every day they would have somebody to take me out to eat around the wonderful NUS canteens and cafeterias all the way to the alumni club house, which is very expensive and you can't get in if you're not a member. So I was able to learn a lot about the libraries and what's going on in the library and around the library from that informal interaction.
And I felt that that's something that kind of, I work here at the Hamilton Library, and that's something that's not, it's a different style, I guess. Because even when, like, when I first came, they had already, like, a reception, not really for me, but they have a reception on my first day, a white, it's I think it was the first picture of the food spread that they have in the video. They were celebrating something, and also welcoming me as the intern at that time. So that's one thing I feel like, something very interesting, as opposed to being siloed in just your own department and division, and focusing more only on your own little thing. Because here, like in your asset management unit, you can't really do that, because you have to handle a lot of different stuff. Things I learned, like I said, different library system, different culture of a working place, and all these initiatives and ideas that I'm interested in, and I'm beginning to try to apply it in our own library with events, activities, especially with outreach and orientation as the fall is not coming yet, but we have to start planning for orientation, and I'm slowly trying to get people in the library to do it more extensively. And this connects to technology, because social media is one way of doing outreach aside from being physically there in Manoa Experience Day or orientation. And again, we need to promote, market, and brand the library as something that is worthy for the parent institution, so that when the next round of budget cuts comes in, well, at least we won't get as much cut as they were proposing. And again, emphasis on service, as they have the promise and also indicated by their winning the Excellence Award. And interesting thing about access, that's one thing that I find quite different. I'm grateful that I'm here because of all our open access policy, and even we have a campaign, 1 week campaign for open access. And I highly encourage to all fellow students, not just in the library science field, but in other departments, Asian studies or whatnot, to go there and do a visit or an intern or a program or exchange. And if you work there with a department or something, bring a con of coffee, coconut flavor. They finish it in like 3 days. So, thank you. That's the end of my presentation. And if you have any questions or any suggestions, what I mean, comparing and contrasting with NUS to our own libraries, what you want to have here, I'm happy to be taking suggestions and questions.
I just like to thank Sidney. That was really interesting, because I've worked at NUS, so I'm on the recipient end. But I have to say, you know, I mean, I first worked in NUS Library in 1970. And the transformation over these 40 years is quite remarkable. You know, that they've, I mean, Singapore wants to be the harbour of Asia. Mm. And they're putting unlimited amount of money in, and they know that the library is an important part of that. And all this technology is fantastic. The only thing I would say with our library, we are far behind them in terms, in so many ways, it's far behind. But we have an infinitely better collection, you know, than our actual collection, at least as far as Asia is concerned. When I worked there, the actual things they have on the shelves are wonderful, pretty good for teaching. They have most things you want. In English, mm-hmm. They hardly no French books. They have, you know, if you're working on Asia, you need Dutch or German or French books that are not been translated. They don't have anything that, because the students don't read those languages. Their really good collection is the Singapore Malaysia Asia, that special collection that you were talking about. That's terrific.
Yes.
But other than that, we have a very good. Wouldn't you agree?
Yes. Since we have a comprehensive collection for Well, at least the ones I know are the Southeast Asian collection is comprehensive with Yati as the librarian, and we are still one of the best in Cornell too.
Because databases can only give you a limit, I mean, they can widen the world tremendously, but there's still a lot of things that aren't on.
Yes, that's true. And yeah, I mean, they have a pretty extensive collection and an extensive space for that because they have a new annex and everything. They still have two floors that are empty for their closed shelf because they do the compact system there. And they never weed their collection. They never throw out their collection as far as their claim is. As opposed to here, we even have a shelf that's called No Room on Shelf.
Yes.
So it's pretty contrast there. Any questions, comments?
Yes.
Where did you find a place to stay for just 1 month?
Oh, I was lucky to have my friends who work, my high school friend are working there, so I just contacted them, and they have an extra room and an extra bed.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, I have a question about newspapers like the Straits Times.
Yes.
Years ago, I did some research at Hamilton Library, and I had to scroll to the microfilm, and it was back, I think, 1950s, so there were certain gaps. Is the new Straits Times, like, digitized at the National?
Yes, I think it's digitized at the National Library, not at NUS.
Oh, okay.
I think so.
That's good. Is it accessible on the internet?
I'm not sure, but I don't think so, because they're pretty protective about their content. Because I was asking that because I work here with the digital newspapers, and I was trying to see what they have. And most of their digitization effort is in the National Library for that. Any other questions?
Given the tremendous difference in finance. I mean, the library has a lot of money.
Yes.
We don't have a lot of money. So if you had to pick out one thing that we could do with the budget we have that you could borrow from them, what would you choose?
Outreach.
You think that's...
Because outreach, I mean, with... And then outreach, that includes social media. Social media and just getting the word out there in the internet, in the digital world, doesn't really cost a lot of money in terms of software and everything. What we might be lacking is actually the human resources, because we're already really stretched. But I think outreach is important because that's how we can show our worth.
We've got a very static website. Hamilton.
Yes.
You know, just kind of there. But if you could expand that site and do all kinds of other things with it, it would be.
Yeah. Thanks. That's one thing that has been in process since I was an undergraduate up until now. It's been 5 years. They've been trying to upgrade their website. I'm not sure what exactly is happening, but. So at least we'll try to start something from the bottom with doing more orientation and outreach, having more existence, I guess, in like Facebook or Twitter. And then since students these days are very digitally hooked, they Twitter and all that, we will open like a tweet your questions to us, things like that, which actually has been working in NUS. And people also air out their complaints, their comments, and their positive compliments to the library through Twitter. So
the important thing is that it's going to be a library response. You know, I've given so many suggestions to our library, and I don't think any of them have ever been followed. I have lots of ideas about
You said library or lively?
It's no use the customers giving suggestions or even compliments if there's no follow through on the
apps.
yes, there are very much interaction, and they're very, aside from that, like for real time, they open chat, like chat widgets within their website, and it's easy to find. Unfortunately, ours is hard to find for the chat feature, and you have to sign up and all that. While this one is just there, you can just type questions. Yes.
State employees,
yes.
Faculty, tenured,
yes.
Civil service,
yes.
And versus people who actually have service orientation.
So,
thank you for the comments.
I hope we can slowly bring some of those initiatives here, and I personally am trying to do that. So, thank you for your comments and questions.
Thanks.
Thanks for your
thank you.
Mahalo for listening to the Center for Southeast Asian Studies Speaker Series podcast. If you'd like to download, comment on, or share this podcast, as well as subscribe to our weekly announcement listserv, please visit us at csehawaii.com.